Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hi, friends. Welcome to episode 48 of the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leanine Heiss, and I'm so glad you're here. Today's guest is author and speaker Sarah Forgrave. Sarah and I met at the Hearts at Home conference and quickly connected hearts because, one, she's a mom, and two, God has her focused on prayer. She's just released a new book on prayers for caregivers that I found relevant for all mothers. At some point in most of our lives, we'll find ourselves caring for someone that takes us past our comfort zone and to the point of exhaustion and sometimes desperation. That can be our children, our aging parents, or as in Sarah's case, other people we love. Today's episode is not just filled with hope and prayer, but also tips for how to navigate these seasons ourselves and support those who are in them. You can find today's show notes on the blog at momsinprayer.org, where we'd love to engage you in the comments. And also, you'll find more info on how to connect with our guest. Let's welcome Sarah to our show. Sarah, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you, Lee. I'm so glad to be here today.
I am so glad to have you and to have this chance to sit down this spring and talk about your new book that's coming out and your heart for prayer. So tell us, Sarah, a little about your family, yourself, where you're from, what you do, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I am an author and speaker, but a lot of my time is poured into my family. I have two kids. I have a son who is 11 years old. We are heading into middle school next year, so that's a little crazy to even wrap my brain around. And then I have an 8-year-old daughter who is in second grade. My husband is an entrepreneur, so a year ago, we took the leap and cashed out everything to put our full energy into our own business, and we run a toy business. That's been super fun, very stressful, but it's been an exciting season for us. So I work a lot with him on that as well in this season for the past year.
Oh yeah, we're knee deep in whatever our husbands and family are doing as moms, aren't we?
It is so true.
Well, it sounds like you're in a really fun stage of motherhood too, but I love, as we met each other in person, to hear your heart for prayer and the journey that God's taken you on in that area. So tell us how God began to cultivate prayer in your heart. Was it like an easy thing from the get-go, or have you grown into prayer?
Well, I grew up in the church. You know, whenever the church doors were open, my family was there. So of course, I learned all those tips and tricks for praying, that classic outlines, you know, the ACTS outline, the little finger thing, you know, one finger stands for this, you can pray for this. And so I learned all of those different outlines of prayer. So I think I always knew how to pray from that perspective from a young age. But looking back, I think I realized that my prayer life was structured, but maybe not always personal. And it wasn't until I started to go through some difficulties in life that I realized this structure is great, but I'm really not relating to God where I am in an authentic way. And so my journey with difficulty really started when my son was born 11 years ago. I suffered severe complications from his delivery, and I was on long-term disability for a year and a half. And during that season, I would try to relate to God in the way that I knew, that, you know, the churchy way, but I still felt a disconnect. And it wasn't until I really realized I can be authentic with him. I would read Psalms and realize that David, you know, would say, "Why have you abandoned me?" And that was okay to ask those hard questions. So really during that season, I think it transformed from an outline to authenticity. And sometimes in my prayer life today, the outline is still there because sometimes I need that structure, but it's framed differently in how I relate to God.
I love it that you said that was born out of difficulty, because that's kind of what draws us into a deeper prayer life anyway. It's that need for him that precipitates that authenticity that you're talking about.
It's so true. And, you know, I think it's appropriate today. You and I, Lee, are recording on Good Friday. And I can't help but think about Jesus in those last moments before he died, called out to his father and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that is so freeing for us, because in those hard places, we ask why a lot. And that's okay. That's okay to ask why.
Sarah, that just beautifully transitions us into the middle of your new book, which is called Prayers of Hope for Caregivers. And I wonder if you could tell us the story about caregiving in your life and what that's looked like, because it's been more than one situation that has made you a caregiver.
Right. So I have not filled a long-term caregiver role in the sense of how we think of it. I typically think of someone caring for an elderly parent. I have not been in that position yet, but I have served as a short-term caregiver role. So my sister, growing up, battled stage 4 cancer, and she is truly a walking miracle. She's survived a bone marrow transplant and truly beat the odds. I mean, doctors at that time said it, there was no medical explanation why she's alive today. But unfortunately for her, her chemotherapy ended up damaging her heart. And it wasn't until a couple decades later that that started to become apparent. So she had to go into a heart transplant waiting list. And her home is about 3 hours away from mine. But all of her medical team and transplant doctors were just 20 minutes from my house. So we made plans that while she was in the hospital waiting for her heart, I would kind of be that home base so that when her husband and daughter would come, when, you know, any other extended family would come, I was the bed and breakfast. I was the main contact point with the hospital and the team there if there were any issues. After her transplant, she came and lived with my family for about a month afterward, just to be able to stay close to that medical team. You know, we kind of moved our house around. My mom came to help as well during that time because I had a newborn daughter and a 3-year-old son at that point.
Oh my goodness. So
I know, right? I look back and I think, how did we survive that?
Totally.
But we set up a pack and play in my bedroom. My daughter slept in our room. Her room became grandma's room. Our guest room was for my sister. And everything got shifted in our home during that season. And we made it through. We made it through. It was a testing time, but it was also a sweet season filled with memories. So I'm happy to say that my sister is healthy now and back home. It has been 8 years now since her transplant, but just a few years ago, my son, we ended up in the emergency room with him, and this was not your typical rambunctious boy, you know, doing crazy things out in the backyard and hurting himself. This was a really severe infection that developed in his jaw that we did not realize. It wasn't visible until it was basically very serious. And I had to rush him to the emergency room on the first day of school. He missed the whole first week of school for this, rushed him to the emergency room. And I have spent probably a total of at least a year, if you add up all the time I've spent in the hospital and doctor's offices, and I have never once been rushed straight back without sitting in a waiting room. But this time we were taken straight back. So I knew this had to be serious. The doctor said, yes, if this infection continues to spread, it's going to block off his air passage. So they took him into emergency surgery overnight. We spent several days in the ICU afterward. And at this point, he was in second grade. And there is nothing harder for a mom to hear than her son lying there just hating his life and saying he wished he wasn't alive. I never thought I would hear that from my child, especially at that age. But it was so difficult for him. And he suffered from incredible anxiety. He always had. Of doctor appointments and anything to do with needles. And so that journey, as hard as my sister's journey was, she was an adult. She had, you know, been through a lot of medical issues. So that side of things she was comfortable with. But trying to parent my son through that time was probably one of the biggest tests that I have been through as a caregiver.
We've talked about this, but I think the role of caregiver looks so different, but everybody who's listening can relate on one level or another whether that is having young children in your home or caring for a spouse that is sick or aging parents, at some point in life, we will be a caregiver, right?
You're right. And really just being moms, like you said, we are caring for our children. We are putting our needs sometimes down on that list because their needs come first. Even if your child is generally healthy and they're home for a day or two from school because they have, you know, a stomach bug, you get a small sense of, yes, everything else in life has to be put on hold. And my needs, frankly, don't matter right now. These other things take first priority.
So what role did prayer begin to play in your life when you were dealing with your sister and then into your son?
Yeah, so thankfully, I had started to develop this authenticity with God. I had made it through my medical challenges. And so that really, I think, sustained me through those seasons to already have that foundation in place to relate to God. And life was chaotic as a caregiver because not only was I spending a lot of time back and forth from the hospital and home, but normal life was expected to continue as usual. And I think that's a big difference between the person who's sick and the caregiver, is the caregiver often has to keep normal life going as well, in addition to this life thing they're dealing with. And so I found as a caregiver that I really had to seek out those little windows of opportunity that God gave me and not let them slip from my grasp. With my sister, every day I would try and go visit her. So I would take my son to preschool and I would drive my newborn daughter to the hospital. And it was that commute from, you know, the preschool to the hospital. I had a 30-minute drive. And so I would turn on worship music and maybe, you know, talk to God in that space. With my son, I spent a lot more time in the hospital during that time. I hardly was home. But it was in those little moments when he would be sleeping. I specifically remember the morning after his surgery, we were in the ICU. He had a breathing tube in, and the nurses told me at some point today, we're going to need to take this breathing tube out, and we're going to have to wait for him to wake up before we can do that. And so as soon as he wakes up, you let us know, because he's going to be aware that breathing tube is in. I thought, oh my word, you have no idea, my son, how much I had gone through just to get him to this point and keep my sanity. And I'm going to have to wait for him to wake up. He's going to be panicky. He's got this thing in his throat. There's going to be this whole medical team come in and take this thing out. And it was like God just whispered to me, this is your moment of quiet to be still. Mm. That as you're waiting, don't sit here in panic and worry, but sit here in my presence and breathe in the peace, because this is the last bit of peace you're going to get for a little while. And it was so true. I mean, once my son was awake, it was a flurry of activity. It was one of the most difficult moments I can even describe. And then once he was awake, he was grappling with this new reality of being in the ICU and just all that meant. And suddenly my role shifted big time. And I did struggle to find those places of quiet and peace. And so I'm so thankful that I listened to that voice when I had the moment. Before that point.
And I think a lot of times we're expecting to draw strength from large moments of time with the Lord, large times where we have time for reflection and Bible study and prayer. And there are seasons, especially with young kids or our parents at home taking care of them or a spouse who has long-term issues, where there are no long windows of open time. None.
No, you are so right. And an interesting story, this is not necessarily when I was a caregiver, but when I was pregnant with my son, before I went into that time of medical challenges, during pregnancy, I really sensed that I needed to be memorizing verses. And I knew that life was going to shift. It was going to turn upside down. I wasn't going to have as much time. And so I would sit and memorize phrases and sentences from scripture. And God used those in powerful ways then as I went through those hard seasons. And I've started to realize that when life is good, when it's cruising along, that is the time to be devoting that extended time in Bible study, because that is what carries us through those times when we don't have, the extended time, when we have the 5 minutes or sometimes even just the 2 minutes, but what we have stored up, God will use to carry us through those times.
Such a good word. As I talk to women, one of the things I always hear is, I just don't know what to say to God about this issue. And that's where I've come to realize that sometimes women need a script that helps them figure out how or what to pray in the middle of this. And in your book, Sarah, you really do go first, using your words and drawing on things that women are facing, and men, I'm sure, in the role of caregiver. And you utter prayers that model for them things that they might say. I found that fascinating. Even just, I love this, as moms and as caregivers, what to pray when there's no end in sight, when you can't sleep, when you feel angry, when you feel invisible, when you need a second opinion. I especially love that as a mom, because aren't we all at that place in a doctor's office at some point? Or I think especially as we move in, when other relationships suffer, when we take care of a kid and another kid is left not on their own, but by the wayside, or when you feel burned out. And what I love is you finding words for those prayers. So tell me about thinking through that situation, what the writing process was like for you.
Yeah. So when I developed the idea for this book, it was really developed in tandem with my first book, Prayers for Hope and Healing. And I wanted to structure them in a way that we can turn to the page where and find a way to connect with God where we are struggling in that moment. And that really was born from when I would spend time with my sister in the hospital. She waited for her heart transplant for a total of about 6 weeks. And so every day going in, especially during weekdays, you know, sometimes I would be there when a pastor would come to make their pastoral visit. They would sit down and read a scripture and pray. And it was so comforting, but, you know, understandably they would keep their visit fairly short and they would leave. And then maybe later that in the day or that evening or that weekend, she would say, man, you know, this has really been hard for me. And I thought, those care pastors, we can't expect them and they can't be with us every single moment to give us what we need in each struggle. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if there was some sort of book or resource that we could turn to and say, I can't sleep. Let me connect with God in this struggle. Or there is no end in sight. Or I'm going into surgery soon. And whatever those scenarios are, finding a specific way to relate to God in that moment. Because like you said, sometimes we need a script. And sometimes it's not necessarily women who aren't familiar with prayer. Even church and prayer warriors, when we're going through those hardest seasons, the words just won't come because we're exhausted. Even those of us with the strongest of faith may struggle in our faith in those seasons. And so I wanted to give voice to those prayers for those moments that we struggle and be very specific with it.
And God is not disappointed with our honesty before Him that this is a struggle.
You're right. And he already knows what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And I think that when we approach him authentically in prayer, it has nothing to do with changing his mind about us. It allows us to open ourselves up to experience his presence in a deeper way and to realize that he is with us.
Sarah, I wonder if there's any tips you would give people who are in the middle of caregiving and they feel exhausted. Anything that you would say specifically to them today?
There's a few things. You know, one is sometimes we have to let go of expectations. Sometimes we have to let go of our need for perfection. That's a really hard one for me personally. To recognize that not everything is going to get done, maybe how we want it to get done. We have to reach out for help. Having been in a caregiving role, I now see that a lot of times caregivers are forgotten, that we pour so much time and energy into paying attention to the person who is sick or going through a hardship that we forget that there's someone really close to them. And so as caregivers, you know, we can't necessarily blame people if they don't see us. That's just kind of human nature. But we have to be willing to step out and say, I need help. I am struggling, and that God gives us community for a purpose. And it's important that we let that community know that we need help, that we need prayer to build that system. And it may just be one or two people. It doesn't have to be, you know, an entire church of people, but just to know that you have someone there to help you. We have to make our needs known. Mm. I actually wrote a blog post recently that's called What to Say When Someone Asks, How Can I Help? Because even people will ask, but in the moment we get tongue-tied or our brain is so fried, we can't think of what to say. And so just giving practical ideas of here's how you can respond and maybe prompt people to say, oh yeah, that is a need in my life. And I can think of this friend who would be great at doing this. And so I'm going to reach out today and ask for help.
That's great. And I think one of the gifts of moms in prayer in the life of women, especially in the life of moms and grandmothers, is that instant community. I think that when someone else prays for our child or even prays for us and the wisdom that we need to walk through this situation, for peace, for our needs to be met financially or emotionally, it's bonding and it's necessary. We need somebody holding up our hands while we do the work of caregiving. Amazing.
It's so true. And I think too, on the flip side, is that there's a lot of us who aren't caregiving right now, but we can be the ones to reach out and say, oh yeah, I know someone in this role. I know a mom of a child with special needs, and I haven't checked in with her lately. And so what are we doing to, you know, how can I today reach out to someone? How can I pray specifically for her and make that known to her? Text her and say, hey, I'm praying for you today. Or how can I pray for you today? I think that's huge.
I do too. Sarah, it's been a gift to have you with us today and to call to our attention this area of caregiving. I can think of a couple of friends right now that probably could use that text today. And I'd love for our listeners to be able to connect with you off the podcast too. So tell me real quick how they can do that.
Yeah, so they can find me at sarahforgrave.com. And from there, you will find links to social media. I love connecting with people on Facebook and Instagram. I share morning prayers there most weekday mornings. So if they want to start their day off just with a focused prayer to start their day off right, that's something that takes 5 seconds to read, not necessarily even 5 minutes. So that's a great way to connect with me. And you will find on my website tons of resources for caregivers, for people going through medical challenges, and for the friends that want to help them. Very practical, tangible ways that we can help.
Sarah, thanks so much for being with us today. I wonder if, as we close, if you would pray for our caregivers that are listening right now.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you give us the strength each day to face whatever you have placed in our path. And God, for those who are pouring out, God, I pray that you would pour into them. I pray that they would be aware of your presence with them right now, Lord. I don't have to pray, be with them. We know that you are already with them. I pray that you would make your presence known in a tangible way. Where they feel weak, God, fill them with strength. Where they feel inadequate, remind them that you are more than enough, Lord. I pray that they would lift their eyes and keep their eyes on you in every step of this journey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. As someone who's gone in and out of seasons of caregiving and supporting caregivers, I so appreciate Sarah's reminder that God is present in every little moment of this long journey. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook or Instagram and know how we can pray for you in your role as caregiver today. We're on every platform as Moms in Prayer, Leaning Heist, and Sarah Forgrave. You are seen today, friend, by a God who loves you wildly and loves the person you're caring for. Prayer is a huge part of the work that you're doing, and prayer makes a difference. See you next week.